You're listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Chris Smith, and also with Ginny Smith. This week, we're looking at some of the most important experiments and discoveries in the history of science. Still to come, we'll be testing your memory and finding out what stars are made of. But first, we're staying a little bit closer to home to discuss the discovery of gravity. Now, Hugh Hunt's an engineer from Trinity College, which is also the home of Isaac Newton. If you didn't know who Isaac Newton was, he was the inventor of gravity. Before that, we all floated around. Hugh Hunt, welcome. Hugh, you have brought with you a bag. So yeah. What have you got in your bag?
I have one Newton. You probably know that an apple weighs about 100 grams, and 100 grams is one Newton of force.
Is it true that Newton did fall asleep under this apple tree and had an apple drop on his head, and this is how he had the breakthrough intellectually that something is pulling the apple down?
No. In fact...
We can all go home now.
In fact, Newton himself said that wasn't true, but the story was told so often that later on in life he just accepted that it was a good story, so later on he said it was true.
What was people's concept of the idea of gravity before Newton came along and actually put some numbers on it then?
But one of the things that people had trouble with was the idea of a force, because everybody thought that things naturally just slowed down. If you slide something along the floor, it stops. And the laws of motion were that things naturally stop. But then Newton came up with this idea that actually things will keep moving unless there's a force.
Well, that's quite a groundbreaking sort of idea, really, isn't it? Because obviously here on Earth, everything does stop. So how did he make that intellectual leap then?
Well, he started thinking about motion in terms of rates of change of position and acceleration. And he had this idea of momentum. And if you think of an apple which drops, it starts off not moving, and it gets faster and faster, and it makes that lovely apple sound when you catch it. And the idea then is there must be a force because the apple is accelerating. And the thing that he started thinking about was, well, Kepler and others had realized that astronomical bodies orbited, there's a force, the force of gravity. Could the force that's holding the moon into orbit be the same as the force that causes the apple to fall to the ground?
How was this received by people when he proposed this?
Well, he did a nice experiment, a thought experiment, which made it rather easy for people to perceive it. And I wonder if I could get a volunteer from the audience to help with the experiment. And your name is?
William.
William, excellent. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to hold this apple, and if you just drop it, and it falls straight down, okay? Now what I want you to do is to throw it towards me. Now I want you to throw it towards me again. I'm stepping further away.
We're now about 8 feet away.
Yeah, now I want you to throw it. Now this time I want you to throw it harder, and I'm going to...
We're about 10 feet away.
Oh. Okay, now the further I am away from you, the further you throw it, the curve is less. Now what Isaac Newton did was to say, well, if I throw this really hard, it's going to curve around and it might land somewhere on the other side of Cambridge. Or throw it harder, it might land in New York. Throw it harder, could get all the way around, go all the way around the Earth and come back and hit me on the head.
I see. So what he's saying is that because the Earth is curving away from the apple, because the Earth is a ball, and the apple is falling towards the Earth, if you throw the apple hard enough, eventually what's going to happen is that the Earth is going to curve out of the way of the path of the apple, so the apple never actually is going to hit the ground.
That's absolutely right.
And so when we put something into orbit, we are effectively firing, or you know, he's throwing his apple sufficiently hard that it is continuously falling towards the ground but never quite hitting it.
And this transformed, absolutely transformed, the way that we think of motion of astronomical bodies. And the next thing he did was he worked out an equation which fitted in exactly with Kepler's laws.
Let's give William a round of applause. Thank you very much, William. So tell us about this equation then. What was that equation?
For motion in a circle, there is a force required, a centripetal force, to cause a motion to go in a circle. Now, perhaps best if I demonstrate it, really, because...
Okay, he's getting a brick out of his bag. I'm worried now. It looks like something you ram raid a shop with.
That's
what is
great.
This? And
so what I have here is... Now, let's have another volunteer.
What's your name?
Lutzi.
I have a tennis ball, and Lutzi, you can tell that's a tennis ball. It weighs about 50, 60 grams. It's regular.
Except it's got a lump of rope going
through
it.
It's got a rope attached to it. Well, the rope passes through a tube, which is convenient to hold onto. At the other
it's
end,
a sort of aluminium tube with a rope running through the middle of it. And the other ball end, on one end and a house brick
and
on
I've
the
got a house, and I've got a house brick on the other end.
And the rope is what, a metre and a half long?
And the house brick, it's a heavy house brick, isn't it?
Yeah, heavier.
And if you drop the brick, obviously that's just going to pull the rope
brick,
through.
There we go. One brick dropped onto the ground. And the tennis ball is very light. There's no way the tennis ball can hold up the weight of the brick. Well, I'm going to make the tennis ball lift up the brick by using the acceleration of circular motion, the force, centripetal force, that Isaac Newton talked about when he was thinking about apples and gravity and the moon.
How are you going to do that?
Well, so let's see. I'd like you to hold the brick just flat on your hands, right? Now, I've got the tennis ball, and I'm going to start swinging it around our heads like this. And I'm swinging it faster and faster and faster. And there we go. The house brick is up in the air. The remarkable thing about that, Chris, is that we can all see just how big that force is. And it makes you realize that when things are going around in orbits around the planets, that we might think of gravity as being a quite weak force, but it holds the whole of the universe together.
So in other words, that is the demonstration practically of what is actually holding our planets, our little clutch of planets around our sun, our moon around our Earth, and other planets around other stars in other solar systems.
Absolutely right.
Hugh Hunt from the Engineering Department of Cambridge University.